Sean Campbell joins us from TSN in Montreal. Sean, I don't know if the past means anything at all, but the Habs have matched up well this season against Boston, but a lot of people just look at the size of that team and think, man, this is a tough task for the Habs. Why? What can the Habs do to win this series?
Well, isn't hockey history great? I just love when everybody looks back in the numbers because it's like, do they mean something? Does it not mean something? You know, you look back at this season and you're like, what does that mean heading into a playoff series? Because the Boston Bruins are clearly the best team in the Eastern Conference. And where does the Montreal Canadiens fit? And, you know, the Montreal Canadiens are going to have to do what they exactly do every time they face the Boston Bruins, is at this point, they have to get into Tuukka Rask's head. Because if you look at the goaltending matchup of any series, that's usually my tipping point. If I'm going to decide who's going to win a series, I'll tip towards one goaltender over the other. And if you're going to decide who's going to win a game seven, like we were watching last night, I'll tip almost every single time towards the better goaltender. And Price and Rask, looking at their numbers, what they've done, however you want to look at it, it's almost equal. Yes, you have a nomination for Vezina versus non-nomination, but for the Montreal Canadiens, I don't know what it is about them that Tuukka Rask just can't beat them, that he, if they could get into his head early and buy a goal, a timely goal, it doesn't matter, you know, it's a bad goal to get the, you know, someone to make him think about himself, let him get that. We've seen the videos, right, of Tuukka Rask. You know, just YouTube Tuukka Rask. You'll see a beautiful video of him going nuts because he has that kind of instability in goal, and I think that it gets to him, especially against the Montreal Canadiens. So for the Habs to get to the Bruins, I think that they have to target Tuukka Rask right away.
Sean, I think you're bang on with that, but when I look at the numbers, and not the historical numbers, because I don't think they mean that much, things that happened before a lot of these guys were even in the league, but Rask was very good against the Habs in terms of his personal numbers. You know, a 932 is awful good in any era. What did they not do that during the regular season? I mean, they still had success, but his numbers were solid. Are you talking about just trying to rattle him?
Rattling him. I'm talking about wins and losses. Like, that's, you know, his goals against average, his save percentage, that's all fine. And trust me, that'll win more hockey games, but that'll win you Vezina trophies, you know, along the way.
Yep.
But at this point, you know, shots against, block shots, you know, face-off percentage, it really means nothing. It all comes down who won the hockey game.
Yep.
And the Montreal can beat Tuukka Rask. They get the goals that they need when they get them. And they're getting it because they're getting great goaltending from Carey Price or Peter Budaj. Budaj has great numbers against the Bruins. And that's against the Bruins. So that means that Rask has to be a little bit tighter. He has to make that extra save. So I think it's more about rattling than having him let in five goals. Or, you know, it's about that goal at the right moment, getting in his face, making him, you know, frustrated and maybe getting involved in some of the scrums early on in this series, get him not focused on hockey because he's an incredible goaltender.
Sean Campbell joins us from TSN. Sean, which matchup will Therrien want Subban? Which line will he want Subban up against?
I think Subban will probably be up against Bergeron's line. I think that Krejci and Lucic and Ikinla, I think you're going to get that Lucic, Yemlin, and Markov. I think Michel Therrien is okay with that because if Milan Lucic is only thinking about Alexi Yemlin, that's exactly what he wants. If his only thing is to hit Alexi Yemlin and he does that three times on a shift, that's okay with Michel Therrien because Milan Lucic is a dangerous hockey player. So I think that he'll probably see Subban on the Bergeron line.
Interesting, Sean. I found it odd that Lucic would spend time talking trash. I mean, if he wants to chase a guy around, let him. He's more dangerous against the Habs when he just plays hockey and does what he does. That aside, give us your take on the addition of Thomas Vanek. To me, he's that piece that just adds that other offensive threat that spells off Pacioretty, guys like Desharnais. He could be a real wild card here if he can really get going, couldn't he?
Yeah, and he had kind of a bit of a slow first round. He had a great last push with Desharnais and Pacioretty with the regular season. And if you look at know, coups at the trade deadline. Look, they've only gone through one round of the playoffs, and you know, it's, you're also evaluated when you have, when you sign a UFA, how long you go into the playoffs. But Mark Bergevin has done pretty well at the trade deadline, because the other one that they acquired, Mike Weaver, you know, even offensively and defensively, he's been quite strong for the Montreal Canadiens. But Tomas Vanek, when before the trade deadline, I kept driving it home. I go, they need a big right winger. They need a big right winger. He's a left winger. And they tried him on the left wing when they were out on the West Coast when he was acquired. He played with Thomas Mechanics, Brian Gion for a couple games. And then when they got home, they talked about it. I think Michel Therrien said, hey, Thomas, I know you like the left. Could you play the right? But I'm going to put you with Pacioretty and Darnay. You're going to get a bunch of offensive opportunities. You'll play the right side on the power play. So don't worry about that. And now what that does is change the whole dynamic of the Montreal Canadiens.
Yep.
Brian Gionta is no longer a top six forward, which is, you know, you wipe the brow of every Montreal Canadiens fan out there. He's now on a shutdown third line defensive responsibility that can score a timely goal. And you have Gallagher and Vanek as your top two right wingers. It makes Gallagher better, it makes Gionta better, and Tomas Vanek is an elite right winger at this point. So, yeah, I think that that changed the dynamic of how you look at the forwards of the Montreal Canadiens. I couldn't agree more.
Sean Campbell from TSN in Montreal joins us. Sean, Lars Eller was off to a fantastic start in the regular season, then went into a lengthy slump. But the playoffs are mirroring what he did in the regular season. He had 5 points in the four games in that sweep over Tampa Bay. What's Eller doing now that he wasn't doing, you know, for a big chunk of the regular season?
Well, I think that it has a lot to do with Rene Bork. It's the same question, right? What's Rene Bork doing in the playoffs? Well, Eller and Bork are on the same line with Brian Gionta, and that line as a third line is contributing offensively, which takes pressure off the other guys. And I think what it is the top, you know, they get to play against third line defense, you know, like Bork and Eller. They're not against top six forwards. So Eller's just getting a little bit more involved. He's a very physical player. You think Lars Eller, you know, European, but when he starts hitting and he gets on the forecheck, he's a big bruising. He's just got this huge upper body that he didn't use in the second half of the season, and he started to use in the playoffs, and that created openings for a guy like Rene Bork and for Brian Gionta, who are both contributing offensively to go along with defense. But I think Bork scoring a couple goals have added to that point total, so I think it's almost on both sides that those two guys are just getting involved a little bit more physically, and they have that size to do so.
Sean, what's going to be Therrien's approach against Zdeno Chara? He eats so many minutes. We know what he is. He hasn't changed. Do they just keep rolling lines and hope they can wear him down a little bit? Because you're not going to do anything else, because he's going to be out there for 30 minutes a night.
Yeah, I think that, you know, ideally you'll see the Bruins want to have Chara versus the Darnay, Pacioretty, and Vanek line. So that those guys aren't going to go after Chara physically. And yes, he's a big guy, and yes, it probably doesn't do much. But if you see Prust out there, if you see Moen out there, if you see Weiss out there, these guys are going to hit him. And I think that Michel Therrien's game plan is hit him, because that hit in the first game, in that second game, in the third game, he's a big guy. You got to wear him down. And they're hoping that those minutes and the hits that he acquires throughout the series will start affecting him, because I think everybody believes this is going to be a long series, in game 6 and 7. And maybe he won't be as strong, or maybe he'll get a little bit more tired. So I wouldn't, you know, be shocked to see Michel Therrien, you know, on an offensive zone faceoff, put out his fourth line with Chara out there and say, guys, get to the butt of the net, but hit Chara 3 times on this shift. Just hit him. Just even if you do, you bump him. And I think that that's what they're going to do. If they don't touch Chara and leave him alone, I'd be floored. I'd be shocked. I think that they're going to target him, and it's going to be like chopping down a big old tree, and it's going to take 5 to 6 games. But that's their game plan.
Quickly, give me your thoughts on the other Eastern Conference series. Who do you like and why?
I like the Rangers against Pittsburgh Penguins, and when I told you earlier, if I'm looking at a series, if I need a tipping point on one side, it's goaltending. I'll take King Henrik over Marc-Andre Fleury in that series. So I think on the Eastern side, I like the Rangers. I know that Rick Nash and Richards, they got some veteran guys, and I think these guys realize opportunity may be there this season to go forward. And I love their decor when they're rolling. They had a tough game six, but on game seven, McDonough, Girardi, and Stahl, that's, you know, that's upper echelon elite defensemen that you have there that you can roll and lean on at least three of them at any given time. So I like the Rangers over the Penguins, but again, I think it's going to be a long series. So give me six games in that one.
Sean, enjoy the series. 34th time these two teams meet. It never gets old. It's a great rivalry. We'll be watching. Appreciate your time.
Looking forward to it.